The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with my new BFF, Luis Vega. This dude, I got to tell you, this is, I think, our third or fourth attempt to do a podcast. Like, I was something and he was something and we had a Zoom issue, but he's here. I can hear him. I can see him. It's a big fat party. This guy started DMS. I have no idea what that stands for. Maybe he'll tell us. Pro Cleaning Services, which is good because I think DMS, amateur cleaning services, would struggle. I'm just saying not professional coaching, just a dude with the thought. He started DMS Pro Cleaning Services July 2019 in a suburb of Dallas. Such a sexy market, by the way, Dallas. They clean residential and commercial. Don't worry, Cleaning Nation. I've already told him I will yell at him shortly, but I don't want to do that. You know, he's my guest. I don't want to do it online. He and his wife are still doing some of the cleaning. And that's what I know so far. So Luis, what did I miss? What's going on? Introduce yourself to Cleaning Nation and share any fun facts that you think would be enjoyable.
Well, hey everybody, my name is Luis. I'm located in Frisco, Texas. And like Mike said, this is an excellent market. I mean, it's a great suburb, very wealthy. And we have so many people moving here, not just from all over the country, but from all over the world. And about a quarter of the state of California is moving here as well.
We get that. So I don't want to get too deep into this because we're a global audience and the people in the UK are like, shut up. I don't know any of those places. You're boring the bejesus out of me. But you and I'll talk offline. But yeah, for those of you in the States, I'm in Arizona and like, it's almost like the country's tilting to the middle where everyone's coming from California going to the middle.
Right. But, I mean, it has to be a combination of the economy. I mean, the weather, the culture, I mean, all of it. But, you know, I know a lot of my fellow Texans aren't very welcoming of people from other places, but man, I am all aboard. I love people coming in. That means more business for us. There's only one condition. One thing I ask for. If you drink beer, you have to switch to Shiner Bock.
Wow. That's the only thing I ask for. That actually, I know some people are into this, especially in California. They're real like into their like craft
beer,
sexy beer. So I don't know. You might have to fight on that.
Right. Yeah. That's a joke. But, but yeah, we have people from all over the world. I mean, UK, India.
And by the way, I've been to Dallas. It is, just so you know how great of a community is, he said the weather sucks. It's hot and humid. The weather, in my humble opinion, is terrible. So it's such a good city in spite of the terrible weather. People still go. All right, we could talk local geographical right. stuff and bother everybody for hours. But that said, what's going on in your cleaning world that we can bring value to the rest of Cleaning Nation with?
Absolutely. So we... you know, when I was a little kid, I never dreamed, you know, when I grew up, I'm going to, you know, go into the cleaning business. I actually wanted to go into the medical field, you know, plastic surgeon, heart surgeon, something like that. I've always been very interested in science and in medicine, probably because of my mother. You know, going to 2019, I was doing a sales job where I was selling countertops, you know, stone countertops, granite, marble, quartz. I thought it was a great opportunity. Turns out I knew almost zero about the stone. So that really didn't work out well. I mean, I'm pretty good at sales, but just the product knowledge was in there. Didn't work out. It only lasted about a couple months. So I didn't have a job, had no income. And like I said, my kid at that time was 4 years old and we were just really struggling. I was in a pretty, pretty dark place. We kind of fell into the cleaning business. There was this lady that she cleans new construction homes and she needed some people. We started doing that. I realized how well she was doing. And the lady barely speaks English. I was like, well, you know what? I think we can do this. And
And for those of you that aren't joining us video and you're just on podcast, Luis is like, I speak good English. He's a good looking man. He's like, look at this beautiful beard I got going. I think the world is my oyster. If this lady can do it, I can
crush it. Absolutely. And she's a great lady. She's the one that actually, like I said, introduced us to the cleaning business accidentally. I mean, I don't think she, you know, thought I was going to start a business, but you know, she's all for it. It's all good. So we didn't have much money and I knew that getting into the cleaning business didn't cost a lot, especially if we were going to start doing the cleaning. You know, had a few $100s, got some business cards, you know, got some supplies, a couple vacuums, and some flyers, and just started hitting the pavement, you know, started hitting business to business, and, you know, slowly started picking up some business. So we decided to actually get an LLC. So we went through that process, went through the, you know, arduous task of choosing the name. You know, that's a big deal.
All right. So let me jump in, because I don't want to spend a ton of time on, it's a good story, but I want to make sure we give you coaching and everyone gets that. Sure. The one thing I want to give everybody before we jump in, I love what Lewis said about, you know, I thought I was going to be a heart surgeon or brain surgeon or plastic surgeon. Like some, I want to cut people open and I don't want to go to jail. So that's what I heard. I want to encourage you guys, having been rich and been poor and been around some real wealthy people and some real poor people, I just want to encourage all of you guys. What Lewis said is so prescient. Or for those of you who had a, you know, public school education like me, so on point, sorry, public schools, but you know, it's not the best.
I'm a public school kid too.
Yeah. I only read a lot. That's the only reason I'm even, you know, I'm not even allowed to use the word prescient on the air, but you know, I read some books when no one's looking and you pick up a couple of things. It's spot on. So, and again, I'm not against education. Although I didn't go to college, I've invested hundreds of thousands, maybe a million by now into my own education. So please don't hear me anti-education, but you want to go to medical school. That is a 10 to 15 year commitment of your life. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. And you still have to have a bunch of skills like billing and operations, or just go work for someone for $100,000 a year or something, which isn't terrible, but it ain't great. And what Lewis said about, hey, we want to start with nothing. We want to start now. I know a lot of guys, most of our millionaire mastermind, if not all, make more money and work a lot less than surgeons, and they have a lot more impact. Not to besmirch surgeons. At some point, I'm going to get older than I am now and need a surgeon. I'm going to love that guy as the skill. But I just want to encourage you guys out there that you can absolutely make surgeon money without having to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars in a decade on your education. You still have to spend on your education. It just doesn't look like memorizing all the bones of the body. It looks like understanding things like building a culture, building a team, marketing, client attraction, so just want to encourage you guys. You don't have to, there's other ways to learn stuff than spending, you know, 15 years in college. All right. That said, what's going on in your world right now that I can help you with, Lewis?
All right, so really quick, the DMS, it stands for, my son's name is Sebastian, so it stands for Daddy, Mommy, Sebastian.
All right, so at first I was going to make fun of you, but that's so freaking cute. Like, how can I knock that? Although, if you have another kid, it's like, well, no, that dude's going to feel left out.
Right? Yeah, I have to change the name. But yeah, so right now we average about 22 jobs a week. We strictly work Monday through Friday. We make it a point to be off on the weekends, Saturday and Sunday. And Friday night is our family night, is our time to give thanks and to unplug. You know, it's very important to unplug, you know, especially in the society we live in, you know, this capitalist society. I love it, but it's a lot of people are overworked, overstressed. So it's very important to at least find one day to unplug. And we do it, Saturday and Sunday. That's our day. Those are our days to unplug. So, like I said, about 22 jobs a week, mainly residential. We have three commercial accounts. That's definitely going to change.
Good background. How can I help you right now, buddy?
Got it. So right now we're having issues with the hiring. So with employees, keeping good employees and getting commercial accounts is a tough one. Of course, like I said, we don't have any systems set up at the moment. And that's just mainly because we work so much and don't have any, not that we don't have any time. It's just one of those things. We just a little bit burnt out after work and systems, you know, it takes time, it takes money. So that's where we're stuck. We're stuck in that kind of, we're working the field and we are growing, but not commercially.
So let me jump in and focus this, because I don't want to be all over the world and go an inch deep. Let's get one thing that we can give you some coaching. So the first thing that Lewis said, I don't want all of you Cleaning Nation to miss, is really important. He's like, yeah, we choose. And he didn't say that, but I heard it. We choose not to work Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. That's our family time. So I want to encourage all of you guys, Cleaning Nation, who are like, oh, I wish I could do that. I promise you, Lewis, when you said that, 1,219 people went, oh, I wish I could do that. Let me tell you the truth, 1,219 people. Of the 1,200, and I'm making up that number, but a substantial amount went, oh, I wish I could have that. I want to encourage you, of those of you that are doing that, almost none of you can't have that. You haven't set boundaries and you feel like it is an emotional, if I don't work, I won't get paid, I'm going to starve, I'm going to be homeless. The problem is you don't understand the cost that it's taking you if you work 7 days a week. And this is a biblical principle for those of you that are believers of the Bible. God's like, you got to rest at least one day. That's for our benefit, not because it benefits him. So you can ignore that wisdom at your own peril. So I want to encourage those of you guys that are like, Lewis is magic. He's able to do that. And I'm not. No, Lewis has decided to do that and made a priority.
Absolutely.
You have not. So I just want to encourage those of you who want that. Certainly we can help you with the systems and tools and processes and all that good stuff. But until you decide, all that crap we have is completely useless. Once you decide, it all makes sense and it can rock your world. But until you decide, it's nothing. So I want to encourage all of you to understand Lewis isn't magic. He just decided. He decided that was a boundary he set in his life. I'm sure there are people that are criminals who are like, oh, I could never make money, you know, without lying and cheating and stealing. Or most of us are able to do that just because we've made that decision. We have to figure out how to play within that framework. Okay. So that's the first thing. Second thing is let's focus on one thing. I hear this a lot and I want to make sure most of the time people say one thing and they mean another. I think that's what you did. And I want to see if that's where we're at. Most of the people say we have trouble hiring. Fine. That may be the case. But what they mean is I physically am cleaning more than I want. I want zero. I'm cleaning more than zero. And I think the solution to that will be hiring. Am I picking up what you're laying down, Lewis?
Absolutely. Well, here's the main thing though. I can find people to replace my wife and I, but we don't have enough business right now to be able to pay a crew, you know, because obviously if we get out of the business, we'll be making less money. So we're not at that point where, because we need the money right now. We need that cash flow coming in. So we can only afford to hire a couple people right now.
So hold on, let me jump in because you're saying such important stuff and I don't want anyone to miss any of it. So a couple things. First of all, again, it is so important that we are clear on what we want. And I think a lot of us overlook that. We kind of gloss over it. So and the good thing is this is recorded, so you can go back and be like, holy crap, I totally did that. What I said is what you really want is to be out of cleaning. And you spent a half a second going, yes, but... And you started explaining all the reasons you couldn't be out of cleaning. So exactly the same thing as the 1,100 people or whatever we made up that heard you and go, I'd love to go out of, you know, I'd love to not work Friday, Saturday, but then they went, I can't afford it. And they just started doing a laundry list of reasons that wasn't the case. So let me encourage you and Cleaning Nation. Very few of the stories we tell ourselves are the truth, right? There are perception, anticipation, fears of the future, but they're not the truth. So when you say things like, we don't have the money, that is not the truth. A truth is, at this moment in time, I have X amount on my checking account, X amount in debt, whatever. Those are truths, right? Like whatever, if you call your bank and I call your bank and 1,000 people called your bank and we had permission to access that information, they'd give us all the same number. So whatever the dollar amount you have in your bank account today, which will be different tomorrow, was different yesterday, it'll be different a week from now. That is a truth. But the corollary we make that is not the truth, it is a story, is because of this money I have. And again, there's 1,000 of it. Well, that's what I have in my checking account. What about bank account? What about stocks? What about bonds? What about cars? What about houses? What about what? You know, there's this huge picture that makes up our net worth, right? So if we had an abacus and a smart guy, we could figure out your net worth this second to the penny. And by the time we did that, it would have already changed because someone would quit, a check would have cleared. Like, so that amount of money is fluid. The story that we tell is we don't have enough money to stop cleaning, or we don't have enough jobs to stop cleaning. So the reason I'm picking at this is not because I want to pick at you, although I do because it's fun and you're a good sport, but because we don't get clear on the problem. So the real problem I hear Lewis say, and I promise if his bride, Kimberly, who I'm dying to meet, was on the call, she'd be like, the problem is we're cleaning. Before we start, he's like, she's cleaning right now. I'm like, oh, don't you be in an air-conditioned house sitting talking to me when she's cleaning. You're getting in trouble, dude. Don't let her know. You're like, I'm already feeling guilty for Kimberly. Sorry, Kimberly, if you're listening. And I'm guessing you are. And if you're listening when you're cleaning, Kimberly, I'm really sorry. I promise we'll try and get you out of there, girl. When we're clear, it's like, I want to get out of cleaning. But what Lewis did, and please don't hear me picking on you. You're such a good example of how people are.
Absolutely. Use me.
I want to point at it because when you do it, it's like, no, that's not great. But when someone else does it, you can look at them. It's super clear. So everyone can look at you and hopefully get some clarity. hopefully you guys heard, if you didn't, rewind. I said, so what you really want, because I said, is what's the big problem? He goes, well, we're cleaning and we can't get commercial works and blah, blah, blah. And kind of started spinning around. And I said, hold on, focus, focus. What I hear you saying is, it's not that you want all that crap. You're cleaning, you want to stop cleaning. And he said, yeah, but we don't have any money. We're broke. And, you know, obviously we can't afford it. And did you see how the focus won't even stay on the one thing for even 10 seconds before we start explaining the thousand reasons we can't. And the cool thing is you did it as a success story at the beginning, right? Everyone else listened to you going, I take Friday, Saturday, or I take Friday night, Saturday day, Saturday, you know, the weekend off. Everyone else probably went to 1,000 things, exactly the same excuses. Well, I don't have, obviously I don't have the money, I have a bunch of the same excuses you sure. do. But then when you take it to the next level, Kim and Lewis cleaning, you know, all day, every day on Monday through Friday, same excuses. So I want to encourage you, Cleaning Nation and Lewis, get crystal clear on what you want and how committed you are to it. And then just bend reality to that, or bend your story, because it's not even reality. So when you say, we don't have enough money to hire people or to stop cleaning, one way that could be true is there's a job you're going to go to right now. And when you finish that job, they're going to pay you in cash, and you're going to take that cash to your landlord, who will kick you out by 5 o'clock today if you don't give them money. That would be a pretty reasonable, I would believe that story of, I don't have enough money, I got to clean. Like, okay. The doctor said, you need $50,000 to for this operation for your son. And someone's going to give you, you know, there are extreme cases where that story would be like, that's a reasonable story. And they would always be short term. They're never going to be forever. That's just for a minute. Right. But I have a feeling, God willing, that's not your story. There is a fear and a belief, if I clean less, I'll obviously make less, which is not necessarily true. It's certainly not true long term. So is it, will you obviously make less for a day, a week, a month? See what I'm saying? We do these, and I'm picking on Lewis because he's such a clear example, and it's so common. So please don't hear me like, everyone else is smart and you're dumb. Like, no, this is who we coach. So you're such right. a perfect example. We just say broad generalizations that really hurt us. So obviously, I think you said that two or three times, and I'm like, it's not obvious to me. It's obvious to you. So if I'm like, obviously, you know, I can't be faithful to my wife. There's so many beautiful women out there. Like, I'm setting myself up for failure. Right. Right? If that's my story, like, well, then who could help me? If I went to a marriage counselor, a marriage coach, let's call it. He can't help me. She can't help me. If obviously I can't be faithful to my wife, there's so many good looking women. Like, just that story, even though it's an obviously ridiculous story. What if I had the other story of obviously my wife's, and if you all saw my wife, you know, it's true. She's the most beautiful woman in the world. I love my son. I would never want to do that. That story is going to give me a different result. Neither are true, right? You could argue and win either one. Like, there is no truth. It's just a story I'm choosing to adopt. So same goes with your story of, obviously, we don't have the money to stop cleaning. I might change it to the way that we feel right now. We don't believe we have the tools to stop cleaning without negatively affecting our ability to pay bills. But that's very different, right? If you start cleaning today, I don't know what it's like in Texas. They don't fool around out there. It's still a month or two before they throw you out of your house, whether you're renting or more, I don't know. Right. So, and that's assuming you have literally no money, you know, so the story of we can't afford to stop cleaning is probably not the truth. It's there's fears that we have that if we stop cleaning, the risk would be greater than the reward. Now, as long as you acknowledge it as a story and go, it's not that I don't have enough money and it's obvious. It's I'm telling myself a story that's creating fear that makes me believe that the risk to stay cleaning is greater than the reward. I'll take all that stuff. That's still not the truth, but it's at least not a wildly inaccurate truth, right? It's at least not one that's going to shoot you in the face. It's like it's a neutral truth. Another story I could tell. So there's three, we're going to give you three levels of story. The one that Lewis, and I promise I want your feedback. Lewis told the story of, obviously we can't stop cleaning. We can't afford it right now. Okay. And that's been getting him the results that he's been getting. And y'all are telling, but all of you judging Lewis, you're all telling yourself an equally holding back story that may or may not have to do with the cleaning. So don't get too judgy. And as I tell myself stories that are ineffective all the time, something we work on. The middle story would be something a little more neutral. Like one story is charged to, you guys are going to clean till you die, right? You can come to my program, you can get all the money you want. But if you come with, obviously we don't have enough money to stop cleaning, and we can't get people without, we can't get customers without employees, can't get employees without customers, we're stuck. The first thing we're going to have to do is change your story, obviously. So if the story is more neutral, like we have fears and we believe if we stop cleaning, the negative impact on our finances short term would outweigh the long-term positive benefits on our finances of owning a business. Okay. That's it. I would say that's neither helpful nor unhelpful, but it's probably fairly true. But since we're making up stories anyway, why not make up the story? I'm a freaking genius. If my kid needed $50,000 for an operation, Lewis is going to get $50,000. He's a good salesperson. He's got a hell of a beard. He's smart. He speaks good English. Why not? He's got a loving wife who's out there cleaning while he's talking. He's got all the tools in the world. If I could do that, I would do it. So obviously, if I need to get out of cleaning, I just need a month or two commitment to do that. If that's my goal and I love my wife and she can't clean no more and I won't tolerate it one more second, I'm a bright guy. I'll figure it the hell out. Now, that's the story that could really help you. Now, do you see, I made up all three of those. None of those are the truth. They're just different perspectives that are going to give you different results. All right, there, I've vomited a bunch of information. Tell me how you're feeling. How's that strike you?
I think you've done this before. You really sound like you've done this before.
Once, maybe twice, maybe.
No, but you said a lot of truth. It is the fear. You know, I can fill up, get a complete crew to replace us. But it is the fear of, making less money and the quality going down. You know, that's another big one. We're very scared to step away just because we feel like no one's going to care like we do if we're not there. So absolutely. I mean, like you said, I like that third story you said, is one of those things where you just got to do it and make it work.
That's such a good point. Go ahead.
I personally work better under pressure. You know, it's always like taking that first step that's always scary. But once I take it, I'm like, oh, well, now I'm in this position. Now I have to make it happen. You know, like my mind starts working, you know, my body starts working and I put things into action. You know, I make a plan. So I really love that third story. The one that you said about, you know, just doing it and letting it go and making things happen.
Let me, believe it or not, I liked my third story until you started talking. Now I'm like, I'll throw that one in the garbage because you've told a fourth story that's even better and they're all made up. So the story you told, just like you didn't hear it before when I'm like, what do you want? You're like, oh, I wanted to clean you, but here's 27 reasons it'll never happen. I'm like, hold on. I didn't ask you what you don't want, but that's what you talked about. So that's not good storytelling. This one, you're like, your story is good. Let me tell you a better one. And it was better. You go, you know, I work really well under pressure. And that's probably what it would take. Me just deciding, going all in. I know I'm going to serve this family. I'm not going to let me and Kimberly starve. That was really fear. Well, this is actually the best thing ever. What have I been thinking? Why don't I do this today? I'm amazing. Like, your story was far better than mine. So the cool thing is, just in the short time we've been talking, hopefully you guys have seen Lewis's and mine and yours. Let's not just judge Lewis because he's a poor guest. Ability to tell super ineffective stories that are going to ruin our lives and super effective stories that can change our lives and be good. And the funny thing is, if you heard Lewis and saw his facial expressions when he was telling the disempowering story of, well, I don't have money, you know, whatever the world is doing, and it's all not me, it's the world. His energy was not resourceful. It was not what it needs to be a successful business owner. So it wasn't even like it felt great. Like, I get it. Like, I don't do drugs, but I at least get it. You put something in your body, it's not good for you, but boy, you feel fantastic. These stores feeling garbage. Like, he was downcast and sad. Obviously, I'm just broke and I'll be dead and my wife hates me. You know, I'm making some of that up, but he wasn't even happy. And then for those of you that are on podcast, feel free to check out at least that little snippet of the video. If you saw his face and his countenance, you could even hear in his voice when he started talking about the different store, like, no, I work really good under pressure. I'll bet you I could crush it. Like, he had this hope and this energy. So not only does a bad story not get what you want, it feels like garbage. The good story, not always going to get you where you want, feels fantastic. So, and the cool thing is, the stories that you tell become your reality, right? Like, it really, how you contextualize it has a lot to do with everything, right? So why not tell effective stories? All right, we are so out of time, but I want to make sure I give you last question, comment, feedback, anything you've got before we wrap this thing up, sir?
I just, like I said, I really appreciate this opportunity. I'm really looking forward to working with you guys. My wife and I are, and, you know, I've been talking to my son about it. You know, definitely got your good book right here. I told my son, you know, like, I'm going to talk to this guy tomorrow. And he was pretty, pretty excited and pretty proud. And
well, now I feel obligated to show my son that I talked to you and be like, hey, look at this guy I talked to, so we can have a whole connect the loop.
Ben, like I said, I'm ready to go. I'm going to finish putting that money down, and man, I'm going to just go 100% at it. And that's the only way I like to do it. You know, like you said, either, you know, I'm very down when I'm telling a story because, you know, it's not a good story, or I'm just, you know, excited and energized about it. And And right now I'm energized for the day, man. I'm going to crush it today. And I want to make some really, really good decisions today and, you know, talk to my wife and just get it going. You know, like, you got to do things today. Tomorrow's never promised. You know, you got to take action today, right now.
So certainly, Lewis, and then those of you that want to like get bonus points on this podcast, go back and watch us again and go to the video. But man, just the countenance, like, you can't see, but when he's talking about, I'm going to make some good decision, I'm going to have it, I feel powerful, he's literally like, his body's vibrating with this energy that is so going to serve him. And guess what? Going into the day, it's all bull crap, right? Telling yourself the story, I'm going to make some great decisions. I'm going to make this happen. This is easy. I got it. Nothing's changed. Whatever the amount of your bank account or whatever you felt was a problem when we first started, is it gone up or down? It's the same as it was before.
Right.
You going into it is literally going to have a wildly different result. So I want to encourage all of you guys out there, when we want to externalize, I don't have money, I don't have time, my wife doesn't like me, I'm tall and short, I'm black and white, I'm in Texas, I'm in California, whatever story we see, and any of those may be true, your location, your height, your gender, your marital status, the fact your wife, those could all be true. But what we make it mean, that's it, that we get to play, that's all up to you. So I just want to encourage you guys and gals, if you heard a difference, and I can see it, like, it's vibrating off Lewis, and you seem like a positive guy, so it's not like you were all down in the dumps before. You were just like, it's almost like realist Lewis came out, like, well, you know, I know it was made for great things, but the reality is, and I'm over exaggerating, of course, but I could feel that energy from you, which when you talk to employees or customers or anyone in your business, that's the energy that you're bringing. And when you go, I'm a freaking genius, I'm going to go make some powerful, good decisions, it's going to feel great. My wife's not even going to know what hit me. She's like, holy crap, who's this new guy? We're probably going to have the best sex ever tonight. I might even impregnate her. We have another kid. We'll be fine because I'm just making up stuff. But that energy is powerful and it's attractive and people are going to be a part of that. And you're going to want to be a part of that. So, all right, Cleaning Nation, thanks for sticking with us. This is a good one. This is a great one to watch on video just to see the countenance change of somebody. If you're like, holy heck, I need more of this, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. We've done over 700 podcasts. I've written 2 books, all the tools that you need, all the information for the transformation. Typically, you're going to need some help and some coaching, but at least the stuff that we can give you digitally or virtually, all at growmycleaningcompany.com. Check it out now. I will see you there.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.